peruse a list of endangered species and you will eventually encounter the Puerto Rican crested toad. Now, at Lansing's Potter Park Zoo, officials are involved in a project to help save that toad from extinction. The Puerto Rican crested toad is a native species of toad that cannot be found anywhere else. We welcome Potter Park Zoo veterinarian Dr. Tara Harrison and zookeeper Sarah Pechtel, who have both assisted in the effort to raise tadpoles and recently shipped 26,000 to Puerto Rico. Welcome to Current State.
Thank you.
We want to learn more about this effort involving this Puerto Rican crested toad. Briefly describe for us this animal. What do they look like?
They range from 2 inches to 5 inches. They're not terribly exciting. They have sort of a goldish-brown skin. It's warty. They're called a crested toad because they have crested ridges around their eyes, a little upturned snout. They're really difficult to see, actually, in the wild, and they can be incredibly difficult to see in a zoo exhibit as well. So,
5-inch toad I find rather exciting, to tell you the truth, especially when I encounter one unexpectedly. Why are they endangered?
They're primarily endangered due to habitat loss, and then there's also an invasive species of a toad that's, you know, competing for their space, their resources, things like that. So it's a little different than other amphibians where chytrid fungus has caused the decline. This one, it's more habitat destruction.
Okay, and it's an island, so you obviously have a built-in limit to begin with.
That's correct.
Geographically, how did Potter Park Zoo get involved, and why did the zoo want to get involved?
We got involved actually back in 2006, and we joined the breeding program in 2008. I think a call went out looking for other zoos who are willing to participate. It's a fairly intensive process, breeding these toads, and not every zoo is capable of it, has the resources or the time or the staffing to do it. So we wanted to get involved. They're the first. They were the first amphibian species survival plan, and they're really cool. We wanted to get involved in it. So I think it was just sort of we discussed it with Dr. Tara that, you know, it seemed like a great project for Potter Park to be involved in. So
is the zoo paid for this work?
The zoo's not paid for this work. We provide the funds for doing this program, but it's part of being with the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. We participate in these species survival plans or these breeding programs, and we had the time and the staff and the facilities to be able to do it, and we thought that it would be a great program for us to be involved in. And also, it's our only program where we're breeding for release into the wild, so we were very excited about that part of the program.
You are working alongside institutions in Detroit, Buffalo, Nashville, and Toronto. Without getting too clinical, what's involved in breeding toads?
It's a funny, long process. Obviously, we can't ever fully replicate their breeding situation in the wild. The whole process prior to breeding takes about 39 days. We fast the toads so that when they're going into breeding or into hibernation, rather, there's no food in their systems to cause any problems. Over the course of 3 days, we cool them down to 66 degrees. And then they spend about 27 days hibernating. We check on them. We make sure that they're doing good, that they're, you know, healthy and stuff. At the end of that, we bring them out of hibernation. We raise them to 82 degrees over the course of 3 days. They then get a reprieve, 5 days of getting to eat. They get a fungal bath to prevent any diseases getting passed on to their tadpoles. Once that's all done, then it's actually time to breed. We get to we don't get to pick which toads breed. That's SSP's job. They tell us we want these genetics to come through. And then from
SSP?
There, Species Survival Plan.
Okay.
So the people who are in charge of the whole breeding process, they go in a rain tank. They get to listen to toad calls. We give them hormone shots, and we cross our fingers, and we hope that everybody likes everybody else, and it all works out. Interestingly enough, last year was our most successful year, and we had thunderstorms during the course of breeding, which probably really helped the toads feel more at home.
How interesting. You can't replicate a thunderstorm in your laboratory, then.
We do the best that we can.
It helped when the weather cooperated. How interesting.
With the raining constantly and the toad calls 24 hours, it seems like it's an environment that they should like.
Tell us about shipping thousands of tadpoles to Puerto Rico. How is that done?
It's a very complicated process where you first off have to catch them all, and they're very active, very tiny, swimming all around. So after we catch them all, we put them in a baggie, basically, and then put oxygen in the bag with them, seal it, put it in a styrofoam box, and then they get to fly in an airplane off to Puerto Rico.
And other zoos are breeding tadpoles as well, some of these other locations we mentioned?
We all breed at the same time, so we coordinate the hibernation period, the breeding period, and the shipping, so they're all flying on airplanes at the same time from different locations to the same location.
All the tadpoles have
Why
to
does
risk.
It have to be so precise?
Well, this past year we had some issues with shipping, and the breeding pond, or the pond that the tadpoles go to, is 3 hours away from the airport. And when you're receiving thousands of tadpoles, you don't want to be driving back and forth and back and forth. So it's much easier for the Puerto Rican staff, the people who are involved from their DNR and stuff.
Logistics.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Exactly.
What does it cost? I know Lansing sent 26,000 tadpoles to Puerto Rico last month, correct?
Yes. I don't know exactly what the cost is.
But you've got how many people involved in the project? How many people's hands are actually on this?
I mean,
Lansing.
For us, I mean, there's two or three of us who do all the breeding. That staff's involved for, you know, making sure everybody's healthy before they get sent and healthy before they breed.
There's probably at least seven staff that are involved at some point in the process, either before, during, or after, for doing that. So
okay.
It's one of those things that it's hard to figure out exactly the cost because not all of us are involved in as much. Sarah obviously is involved a whole lot more than I am, but I'm involved, you know, making sure they're all healthy and things like that. And I have to sign the health certificate for them to be able to go. But it's one of those things that's expected of us as an AZA, or the Association of Zoos and Aquarium Zoo, to participate in programs like this. So we just do that because it's important to us to help preserve and conserve the species.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Potter Park Zoo veterinarian Dr. Tara Harrison and zookeeper Sarah Pechtel about their efforts to help save the Puerto Rican crested toad. Here, there's quite an effort underway at the Lansing Potter Park Zoo to help do that. Once they're released into the wild, do we know their survival rate? Do we know if they're reproducing as hoped?
They're starting to see tadpoles that had been released coming back as toads. The numbers are hard to come by. Tadpoles naturally have a fairly high mortality rate to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe they do any radio tracking or anything like that in Puerto Rico currently. But they are starting to see toads returning to the ponds they morphed out of as tadpoles. But numbers-wise, I don't think they have a good idea yet in terms of what sort of return we're getting.
How it's working.
Yeah.
Okay. Can visitors to the Potter Park Zoo see a Puerto Rican crested toad? Is this an animal that's on display there?
We do have an exhibit for it in our Bird and Reptile House building, so you can be able to see them.
And the crested part, does that mean they have, like, little horns on the top of their head?
Ridges.
Is that what that means? Ridges.
Ridges.
They have sort of like an upturned nose as well. But
And remind us what amphibians are. Amphibians have a pretty, they're not reptiles. We all learned this in seventh grade biology, whatever it is. What is an amphibian? What is a reptile?
Well, amphibians are cold-blooded, just like reptiles. So basically the difference from the reptiles is that amphibians tend to spend either part of or more of their life in water compared to most reptiles. They also have other various, you know, different adaptations. They
permeable
can breathe
skin.
Through their skin.
Yeah. Okay.
And they can absorb things through their skin. So medicines or things on your hands, if you handle them, they can get absorbed through their skin too. So that's probably another major difference, is that reptiles don't absorb as much through their skin.
Potter Park Zoo veterinarian Dr. Tara Harrison and zookeeper Sarah Pechtel, thanks to both of you for helping us understand the project to save the Puerto Rican crested toad from extinction going on here in Lansing. Thank you.
Thank you.
You.